Today on Roadmap to Success with Pastor Neil.
God has exposed you and I to a lot of truth. And the scripture says, if we ignore it, like the Pharisees did, they saw Jesus do very powerful things. And they still ask him, show us a sign. It's a state of their heart. And I pray that you will not be like that.
This week, Pastor Neil leads us through an Old Testament story that foreshadows the events of the New Testament. He explains how Jonah's 3 days and nights in the belly of the great fish powerfully symbolize Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Just as Jonah was trapped for 3 days, Jesus was in the grave for the same period, highlighting a remarkable connection between the two events. Jonah's eventual release on the third day became a sign to the people of Nineveh, an urgent call to repentance. In much the same way, Christ's resurrection serves as a sign for all generations, a declaration of God's power over sin and death, and an invitation for all to experience redemption. Pastor Neil also challenges us to embrace true faith by trusting in the evidence already revealed. Instead of constantly searching for new signs or miracles, we are called to believe and live by what we know. He warns that those who ignore or reject God's power, despite knowing it, will face a harsher judgment than those who have never encountered it. Ultimately, the grace of God can only be experienced by those who open their hearts and minds to the gospel. Let's listen to Pastor Neil in this week's lesson, Jonah and the Great Fish.
Today I want to look at the story of Jonah and how it has so much significance when it comes to the resurrection, but we've always allowed it to be a children's story. I pray that God will open your eyes this morning. Amen. So first of all, would you turn with me? I'm just laying some bases here. Because we are looking at the Old Testament, I want us to look at how God speaks to us whenever we are going through the Old Testament. Look there with me in the book of Luke chapter 24. Because here Jesus is explaining the resurrection and he doesn't use anything but the Old Testament stories. Luke chapter 24. You all remember that in Luke 24, Jesus had died, resurrected, and the scripture says there were two guys who were on the road of Emmaus, and they were having a conversation and talking about all the things that were happening. Jesus shows up amongst them, and then when he comes, notice what happens with these people. The scripture teaches us that Jesus asked, what's going on? And they tell him, are you the only stranger around who do not know what has happened in what? In Jerusalem. You all remember that conversation? All right, and so whilst they said that to Jesus, the scripture says Jesus did something very important. Luke 24, all right, if you want to have a contest, you can start from verse 13, but I'll start from verses 25 and 27. There'll be the two verses I'll read. Jesus is speaking, and the scripture says, he said to them, how foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning, we're reading Luke 24, verse 27. All right? And beginning with Moses, please notice that, and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. And beginning with who? And there? All right, so Jesus is explaining the resurrection here, but he starts from Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And you hear most people saying that the resurrection is only in the New Testament, but he begins from there. Amen? Then he talks about all the prophetic books. Look there with me. In the same Luke 24, look at verse 44 to 46. So Jesus is still talking to them, right? And now he says to them, this is what I told you while I was with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the what? And the Psalms. Did you see that? Then he opened their minds so they could understand. Wow. So he's telling you that unless your mind is open to certain truths in the Old Testament, you can be reading them and never understand them. And that's what I'm going to do today. Open your eyes to certain things. Verse 46, read with me if you can. Luke chapter 24, and then we will read verse 46. Shall we, everybody? Go. He told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. How did he do that? He started from the law of Moses, through the prophets, and then through what? Through the Psalms. Now, those three things are a description of the entirety of the whole Old Testament. Amen? And so the Old Testament holds a lot of relevance when it comes to the resurrection. And today I will use as a subject Jonah and the great fish. All right? Is that okay? You're spiritual people who want me to give some big spiritual title. That's all we got. Jonah and the great fish. Last week was the red cow. He keeps talking about animals. They do have relevance when it comes to the resurrection. Amen? Last week we saw the red heifer or the red cow. Today we will look at the great fish. The Bible never said the fish is a whale. The great fish. Jonah and the great fish. All right? So I need to stop saying it's a whale. The scriptures didn't say that. Amen. Jonah's 3 days and nights in the belly of the great fish is a similitude. Everybody say similitude. Of Christ's death and resurrection. Jesus himself referenced this in the Gospel of Matthew, and we're going to delve deep into it. But before we do that, I want to lay some groundwork. Everybody say groundwork. Tell the person sitting next to you, he's going to lay some groundwork. All right. So how do you interpret the stories in the Old Testament? I want to take my time to walk you through. There are some who would say it is past and gone because Jesus said that he came to fulfill the law and so it is over. That ain't true. The word fulfill means I came to give you the original intent of the law. Are you with me? Because after he made that statement, then he started saying things like, you have heard it said, thou shalt not commit adultery. But if you look at the woman lustfully, you have already committed? Because Christians tend to say the Old Testament is over. It ain't over. Jesus only came to give us the original in what? Intent. Why God said it. God is not schizophrenic, that he tells you one thing and tells you later on it is not needed. It is believed that there are so many diseases in our day because when God said there are certain fishes and things we should not eat, and we started eating them, some fishes are put in the ocean and they are vacuum cleaners. But we eat them. That's why we're sick today. God is not stupid. When he said something, he means it. Always go back. It is the letter of the law that is passed. The original intent for which he said it is still there. For example, if God said to us, thou shalt not commit adultery, most of you say the Old Testament is past. How many of you men would allow your wives to commit adultery? How many of you women will allow your husbands to commit adultery? Anybody? Anybody? So has the Old Testament passed? You see, so that's what we do. We pick and choose which one is past and which one is not. And today, I want to move you in a direction that is important for us to. So how should we understand the Old Testament? There is a way to look at it. Go with me to the book of Hosea chapter 12. Hosea chapter 12. We're laying the groundwork and we'll come to Jonah. I'm laying this groundwork so that you can fully understand and appreciate the words in the book of Jonah. Are you in Hosea chapter 12? I'll read this verse in several versions of the Bible, starting with the King James. Hosea chapter 12, verse 10. I have also spoken by the prophets, and have multiplied visions and used similitudes by the ministry of the prophets. I wanted to underline that word in the King James. Similitude. Everybody say similitude. Similitude as in a simile. Similitude. meaning likeness. It has the same resemblance, but not a regular one. It is a concept by which the scripture uses one thing to represent another. One thing represents? Come on, say that with me. One thing represents? So, for example, the scripture says in the book of Genesis that in the beginning God created human beings, and it says we are created in the similitude of God. It does not mean you and I are God. It simply means that there is a resemblance in terms of nature. Are you guys with me? And so anytime you read the Holy Scriptures, you read especially the Old Testament, you must pay attention to the use of similitudes, how God uses one thing to tell you of another thing. And that's what we're going to see, that when you look at the life of Jonah, you notice that it is a similitude. God is using the prophet and the things he went through with the people of Nineveh to illustrate his death, burial, and resurrection. This took place 350 years before Christ. So nobody can challenge the resurrection. Which God can make a promise 4,000 years and keep it? In the fullness of time, because when man sinned, God says there's going to come a savior in the book of Genesis, right? That was 4,000 following biblical chronology. And then in the book of Galatians 4:4, in the fullness of time, Christ came. It's only God. Most of us, we can make promise for 3 years and we don't keep it. He makes promises over 4,000 years and he can keep it. Amen. So God uses what? Similitude. A similitude is simply a likeness or a resemblance where one thing stands for another. Where one thing stands for? Say that with me. Where one thing stands for? Let's read this verse again in the New International Version. I spoke to the prophets, gave them many visions, and told parables. And told what? So you notice that the writers here in the New International Version translates the word similitude into a parable. Parables also uses one thing to represent another. However, the difference is that in a similitude, the characters and the elements are real. Jonah is real. He's not fictitious. But in a parable, you could cook up a story. Sometimes when I preach, I tell you stories. Not all my stories are real. I make them up to press a point. Are you with me? So the use of similitude is always to bring out a greater truth. That is why God uses. God could speak straight, but he doesn't do it. He does it the way he does it because he wants to send a truth around. Amen? And so parables are the same form. All right? Parables are the same, but the difference is that in parables, so oftentimes the elements and the characters are not the same. Let's read this verse again in the Amplified Bible. And here we see what God is doing with the similitude. He says, I have also spoken to you by the prophets, and I have multiplied visions for you, and I have appealed to you. The word appeal means I have taught you. Okay? I have appealed to you through parables acted out by the prophets. The parables are acted out by the... We are reading the book of Hosea. You notice that the prophet Hosea, God asked him, go and marry Gomer, right? It is real. He had to act out what God was actually speaking. Are you with me? And God was saying, the same way you are a pristine prophet and cannot be compared with Gomer, who is a prostitute, everybody else in the world cannot be compared to me. And we learn that he goes out, comes back, and realizes that Gomer is not in the house. And God told him, go to the marketplace. She's on the market table. He gets there. Gomer is naked, and people are bidding on her. And God tells the prophet, outbid everybody. Buy her back. The woman that belongs to you. Pay the highest price. God introduces the concept of redemption. To redeem means to buy back. You can only redeem something that originally belongs to you. The prophet is acting it out, but God is speaking to us. Are you guys with me? So the concept of similitudes are very, very important throughout the scriptures. God does it to actually stretch certain things. Finally, we are reading the same verse, but this time in the New Century Version. Read with me, shall we? He said, I spoke to the prophets and gave them many visions. Through them, I taught many what? Lessons. Through the similitudes, I taught many lessons. So God teaches a lot of things with the things in the Old Testament. Don't look at them as mere stories, because God is teaching lessons. Are you here with me today? All right, so we're going to press into that, and we'll get into the story of Jonah very soon. So go all the way with me to the book of Jonah chapter 2, because Jonah spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish. It is a similitude that gives us a picture of the death of Jesus lasting 3 days and coming back to life on the third day. This is how interesting God is. He does not only speak about the resurrection in the Old Testament, but he gives you the exact detail that it will take place in 3 days. How can somebody rise up today and say, I don't believe that? Something ain't right with human beings. Are you in the book of Jonah? All right, let's look at chapter 2. Let's read the first two verses. But what I'm going to teach you is from the entire book of Jonah. We're just picking up a few verses to read. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, in my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. Please notice the next few words. From the deep, in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my, from the realm of the dead. Wow. Other versions would say from the grave or from Sheol. But supposedly, where was he? Look at verse 17, chapter 1, verse 17. Let's read that. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish. But from the deep, in the realm of the dead. So Jonah is saying, just as he was in the belly of the fish, the belly of the fish is representative of the realm of the dead. It's a similitude, using one thing to represent so the belly of the fish represents the grave. It represents the place where the dead are held. Are you with me? And he was there how many days? 3 days. Jonah chapter 2, verse 10. So he stayed there for 3 days and three nights. Jesus stayed in the grave for 3 days and three nights. Let's look at what happened. Jonah 2 verse 10. Read with me from the screen, shall we? And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto the dry land. It was God the Father, Paul the Apostle said, that quickened Christ Jesus from the grave, and he came out. I'll give you a summary of all the similitudes that we find here. Now look at chapter 3, verse 1. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Verse 2. This is why I keep telling you, if you have an NIV, you realize the word arise is not there. I put it there because it's supposed to be there. And it's a very important word you should never omit. After I show you why, you should know why it should not be lost. Right? He says, arise, go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim. So the guy is in the belly of the fish, which is representative of the realm of the dead, for 3 days. And then God says, now come out. He forces the fish to bring him out. And then he says, arise. Everybody say, arise. It is the same word when Jesus stands by the little girl and says, Talita kumi. The girl was dead. It is the same word rendered here, arise. So he tells you that literally, Jonah, even though was in the belly of the fish and writes all these things after he comes back to life, was actually dead. Because how many people will live in the belly of a fish for 3 days? You be honest with me. You cannot be. And this is why this is not a stretch, that it is about the resurrection. Amen. So now let's have a summary. Write it down. First of all, the prophet Jonah foreshadows or is a similitude of Jesus' resurrection. In Jonah chapter 2, verse 3, he says something that is important. He says, you held me into the depths, into the very heart of the sea. Everybody say, into the heart of the sea. Waters in the Old Testament often was symbolic of judgment. Often was symbolic of what? And Jonah was saying that just as I have been placed into a place of judgment, remember, because he was running away and had disobeyed God, he was being judged. In the same way, Jesus says in the book of Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6, but he was pierced for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And then the Bible says that God has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus experienced the greatest judgment for your sin and my sin. Do you see the first picture? Now let's look at the second picture here. We find that in the book of Jonah chapter 1 verse 12. Because you all remember that when the sea was raging, what did Jonah tell the people? Anybody? What did he tell them? He was not forced. He willingly says, take me and toss me into the sea. Jesus says, I lay my life down and I take it back. It was a willingness. He was not forced to do it. Are you guys with me? The third picture we find, we are dealing with similitudes. If you want a New Testament verse, I think Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7. Then said I, here am I. It is written about me in the scrolls. I have come to do your will, O God. He came to do it on his own. All right? The third picture we see is in Jonah 2, 2. He said, in my distress, I called to the Lord. And he answered me from deep in the realm of the dead. I called for help and you listened to me. Was it not Jesus who hung on the cross? And what did Jesus say? He said, Father, you have forsaken me. And Jonah is doing the same thing here. He says that God has forsaken him. Fourthly, you would see it in Jonah chapter 2, verse 4. Jonah says, I am driven away from your sight. And Jesus said something very, very important when he mirrors what is called the separation when he says, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, why hast thou what forsaken me and separated me? I wanted to keep seeing the pictures because God is telling stories in the Old Testament. I said, God is telling what? Where? And it is one thing representing another. Are you following me? Number five. While confined in the belly of the fish, Jonah proclaimed, yet I will again look upon your temple. The guy is in the belly of the fish. And he's declaring, I will again. What I wanted to see is that how God allowed these natural things to occur in a certain way and it fits what he wants to do. No wonder your life is going to fit something. So stop crying against demons. God is going somewhere with you. Revelation is closed. But if we were to keep writing them, your story will be read by somebody one day and be encouraged. Are you understanding where we're going? Jonah spent 3 days and three nights. I think that one is common. Everybody knows that. And it is paralleled with the 3 days and three nights according to Matthew 12, verse 40 that Jesus spent. Just as the fish could not contain Jonah but had to vomit him out, so the grave could not hold Jesus. And on the third day, he had to let him go. The final similitude that we see here is that after Jonah came back to life, he went to the city of Nineveh and he preached to them. And the Bible says that the people repented and the big city, the entire big city, they came to the Lord. That when Jesus resurrected, his death and his resurrection has brought salvation not only to a few, but to all. So do not let anybody tell you that the Old Testament is a bunch of stories that makes no sense. It has a lot of sense to it. In fact, in the book of Genesis chapter 22, when Abraham grabs his son Isaac and they are on their way for him to sacrifice the boy, that is another similitude. When he tells the servants, I and the boy will go and sacrifice and come back. Question is, Abraham knew that he was supposed to sacrifice the boy. How did he say we will come back? Because it was God's way of trying to tell us that even when the only begotten son is crucified, he's going to come back to life. I can go on and show you all throughout the Old Testament. I think the book of Psalm 16, David is speaking and he says, you will not allow your Holy One to see corruption. David is not the Holy One. You all know the dude. So the Holy One does not refer to him. Secondly, the Holy One does not refer to him because David has seen corruption. He died and didn't come out. So you notice that David is in pain and he's speaking and he's talking about his God, but God is using his mouth to declare what he wants to do. So when he says, you will not allow your Holy One to see corruption, he was talking about Jesus because he is the one who did not see what? Corruption. I can go on and on. But back to the story of Jonah. You notice that Jesus picks it up. Go with me to the book of Matthew chapter 12. Jesus picks up this story and he makes it very clear that it has a lot to do with him, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Are you Matthew chapter 12? Matthew 12. A companion text, you find them in, I think, Mark chapter 8 and then Luke chapter 11 or so, something like that. Are you Matthew 12, 38 to 40? Let's read. Then some of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law said to him, teacher, we want to see a sign. Everybody underline that. And we're going to go somewhere with that today. Christians today want signs. Lot of signs. If you are God, he's always been God. Problem is you and me. Teacher, we want to see a sign from you. Verse 39, Jesus is speaking now. He answered, a wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. The next verse is very important. Read with me, shall we? Go. For as Jonah was 3 days. Pause. For? Anytime you want to know there's a simile, then you must know words like as, for as. As poor as a church. These days the church mouses are not poor. They eat a lot. All right. With that in mind, let's read again. Ready? Read. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Luke chapter 11, look at verse 30, because now we are going to understand what this is all about. Read with me, shall we? Go. For as Jonah was a sign to the Ninevites, so also will the Son of Man be to this generation. In other words, he is saying that God used the story of Jonah as a similitude to paint a picture to that generation. Today, the resurrection of Jesus, if you are still asking for another sign, you are in trouble. Because God says, I will not give you none. What I've already given you is enough for you to receive my son and come to me. And if you don't, you will be judged and he will not be in error.
Thank you for joining us on this spiritual encounter. Need more help? Text radio to 301-696-8555. Or visit us on the web at covenantfamilychapel.org. You may also visit us at one of our in-person services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and discover the difference that the kingdom of God makes. Like up on social media, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram, all at Covenant One Family.